Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And good afternoon, Tucson. This is the Bill Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the last day of August. It is still hot, and I'm still not Bill Buckmaster. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill while he's on vacation. We are going to do today's show and then tomorrow's, and then on Friday, I think we're going to do the usual roundtable that you're used to for the Bill Buckmaster Show. This show airs every weekday on KVOI AM, that's 10:30 on your dial when we used to have dials, along with our simulcast partners KJAA, 1240 in Globe, and KAPR, 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show always streams live on the web at www.buckmastershow.com, where you can also find archives of previous programs. Plus, thanks to our agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, you can hear us anytime at www.tucsonsentinel.com. This week, during Bill's absence, we're focusing in on one central topic, and that's, are Tucson and Pima County good places to do business? If not, why not, and what can be done to make it better? Today, we have two guests, and both have a personal and professional stake in addressing this week's central topic. And everybody is watching to see how well I do at keeping them on point. Our lead off interview today will be speaking with Democratic State Representative Daniel Patterson. Then, as promised for the second half of the show, we'll chat with Tyler Vogt, who's the Republican candidate for Tucson City Council, hoping to displace Shirley Scott. And, of course, we spoke with Shirley earlier in the week. So, let me first welcome to the Buckmaster Show and to the studio, Daniel Patterson.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Welcome. Daniel, you've been up at the state government how long now?
3 years.
3 years. And you're a Democrat.
Yes.
How is that for you?
It works fine. We have a strong caucus at the state capitol. We are trying to hold the majority accountable and also making sure we're reaching across the aisle, really trying to come up with solutions. We really need to focus on improving Arizona's economy and jobs, and that's what I've been trying to do at the state capitol, although it's been frustrating. We're not there yet.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons I was very interested in having you here to talk to this topic, the rest of the week, it's been normally people who are involved in government or business in Tucson and Pima County. But one of my reasons for wanting you here is because you were the Tucson Planning Commissioner. That's correct.
I did serve on the Planning Commission.
Okay. And what does that commission do exactly?
The City of Tucson Planning Commission basically does what I would call the heavy lifting on planning and taking a look at the City of Tucson, how we're going to grow, revisions that should be made to the code, things to make Tucson more business-friendly, just big planning. And then we would recommend policy to the mayor and council and city manager.
Okay. So is Tucson a good place to do business?
I think Tucson is a decent place to do business. Certainly, there's always room for improvement. One area I think that we constantly need to pay more attention to is our educational system. We hear repeatedly from business leaders across the state at the state capitol in Phoenix, and I hear it all over my district in Tucson downtown, the south and southeast side where I'm based, that education is directly related to the quality of the workforce, the ability of businesses to get the kind of talent they need to be economically viable and to thrive. And that's one place I think that we should make some improvements is in education. But Tucson remains a great place. We have a good climate. We have the University of Arizona. We have DM. We have some good pieces of the economic puzzle here. I think it's a matter of putting them all together.
Why do you think so many people in the business community are complaining about the difficulty of doing business in Tucson and Pima County, and making that such a large part of the dialogue?
I'm sure they have legitimate concerns. If I was a city council member or a member of the Board of Supervisors, I would be in a position to more address that. We've been looking at it from a state level, though. What can the state do to make sure that we have a good business climate? And the state can provide some guidance, but ultimately those conditions in the city or the county are going to be more responsibly handled by local government. And I support local control and the locals having the authority to do the job. The state should be assisting, for example, investments in Science Foundation Arizona, for example, is a very good investment for Tucson. It helps create jobs. We're trying to stimulate growth at the U of A Science and Technology Park, in energy, in the high-tech sector, which I think offers promise, and also the biotech park south of downtown. Those are all places where we're looking at future growth, and the state does play a role in that. Certainly, though, I think there are concerns about the ability to do business not only in Tucson or Arizona, but the United States in general during very hard economic times. This is the worst economic crisis really Arizona has been through since statehood in 1912, and it's just very tough time for business. And it's really important for us to listen to the small business owner. I think it's also critical to talk to the big business guys, but small business is the backbone of our economy, and making sure that we have a climate where it's easy. Lending needs to be available. I'd like to see the lenders and the banks be more confident in the entrepreneurial spirit of Tucson and America, make sure that capital is available. I know that's been a concern to some people, but I know we're trying, and we're all in this together. So the business community, the political community, everybody that is concerned about our quality of life, we've got to work on this, because without a viable economy, without better jobs, without better education, our quality of life suffers, and we want it to get better.
You know, I was speaking with one of your colleagues, Dr. Matt Hines, and he told me a story. I guess he was in Pennsylvania. This is probably a year ago, and talking to one of the top executives of one of the Silicon Valley firms that was looking to move a large manufacturing facility out of California and into one of the other states, and what Representative Hines found out is that Arizona wasn't even on the list. In other words, we didn't even make the top 10. And when asked why, he said, well, the first reason is because of education. He said, you cannot assure us that we will have the kind of workforce, educated workforce, that we need. He said, and there are other problems as well, especially some of the political climate that's going on. But we hear that a lot. And, of course, down here in southern Arizona, we compete with northern Arizona for inward movement of companies and jobs. But there's a huge brain drain problem that we have down here in southern Arizona, because we just don't have a critical mass. There aren't a lot of jobs. Graduates out of the university might spend a year or two down here, and then the talented ones leave.
And that's a big problem. I think we need to better invest in education at the state level. That's one area where I've been frustrated. I don't think the support for education has been as strong as it should be from the state capitol and from the governor's office, and we need to change that. Education is an investment in our future. We are simply getting beat by some other parts of the United States and other parts of the globe. We're in a global economy, and how prepared people are for to join the economy is directly related to the quality of our education. I think there's definitely some teachers out there working hard. There's people that are trying to help the educational system, but that support has to be there, and I'm concerned about it too. I have a 9-year-old daughter who's going to school here in public schools in Tucson, and I'm carefully monitoring what's going on with her education. I was just at her school's open house last night, but education is an investment. That's something that people invested in it for you, for me, for past generations, and we need to do that for future generations. And I hear that all the time. I hear that from business leaders constantly. I think that's the number one concern. The cost of healthcare is also a big concern, especially for small business. But I think education and the need to improve education in Arizona is what I hear most from business leaders in Arizona, in Tucson, and across the country and the world.
At the state level, where does Arizona fit in terms of overall taxation? Is that a point of indifference with the states we're competing with, or are we high, are we low, right in the middle?
I think Arizona's, by most measurements, is about near the middle.
Right.
And that's probably a decent position to be in. Certainly, I don't favor excessive taxation or higher taxes. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the way to go. We always do need to pay attention, though, to creative ways to raise revenue that are fair, because as society, we have to pay for things. We don't want it to be too big and too burdensome. I don't think we have a situation of too big of demand for government at the state level, so we need to be efficient. But the state, it's always something to look at, and especially appropriate focused incentives for emerging technology, places where we can grow our economy, places where Arizona has an advantage. So one area.
And that's something we hear about all the time, that when major companies move to different locations, they do so in part because they get some tax breaks or they get some consideration in return for their investment in moving a location. And I've heard people at the state level saying that they're not so convinced that's a good idea.
Well, it always depends on the detail of what's going on. I mean, what you need to avoid is what I would call kind of a race to the bottom.
Right.
Everybody's just competing to get a handout. Not only do you have that with business, but you have it, for example, with pro sports teams who all want to go to some other city because they're going to get a brand new stadium or something. I mean, the incentive has to be in the best interest of the community and the taxpayers first and foremost. And it also has to be in the best interest of trying to grow business. But I believe, in addition to trying to continually lure new businesses to Tucson, I think that's critical. We need to also always pay attention to the businesses that are here, the people that are committed, that have been here, that are continuing to be in business. A lot of them have been struggling. And at the same time, we want to attract new capital, new jobs, new businesses to Tucson. We want to make sure the people that are here aren't going broke. They're not going under, and that we're supporting them. So you need both of those things, and you don't want to somehow increase a taxation or regulatory burden on existing business to give a new guy an edge. So it's tricky the way that you do that.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of the things that have happened down here in Tucson, because you talk about not just the importance of moving businesses in, but the importance of holding on to those businesses that are here. And if we look at recent history, it's not a great history. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we're with State Representative Daniel Patterson, and we'll follow up and keep this in-depth interview going.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
The
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
And we're back here live in the studio with State Representative Daniel Daniel Patterson. And we're talking about jobs. We're talking about economic development in the state, in Arizona, and in Pima County and Tucson. And one of the problems that has been certainly well known, but I'm not sure we have been very effective at fixing it, is not only are we having problem getting businesses to move into Arizona, into southern Arizona, but holding the ones that are here. And recent examples, Pella Windows and Weiser Lock, and there have been other examples of major manufacturers coming here to southern Arizona and not staying long. And I wonder if you could comment a little bit about that. But before you do, I remind you this is an interview-driven show, but we do ask for callers from time to time. The number here in Tucson is 790-2040. If you have a question for me or for Representative Patterson, please don't hesitate to call us at 790-2040, and we'll try to address your question. So,
well, I think that some of the loss in business is regrettable. You mentioned Pella and Weiser, and they've moved on. We need to look at trying to replace those jobs. Manufacturing has struggled all over the country.
Yeah, SlimFast is another one that comes to mind.
Yeah, right? I mean, they've all struggled. But I continue to hear, and if you look at the economic facts for Tucson, it's a small business-driven economy. And it's very important to remember the big guys and to continue to work with them. They get a lot of attention, and they should. But small business remains the backbone of the city's economy, and I'd say southern Arizona in general. And that's who I try to pay a lot of attention to. I was born and raised in a small business family. I worked in a small family business when I was growing up, and that's always going to be.
Can you build an economy, though? Can you build an economy that has the necessary critical mass just from small business?
It's always going to be probably the biggest part of your local economy, at least I think here, if you look at in Tucson. A lot of the small business, though, will serve and have economic relations with bigger companies that are coming in, bigger businesses.
And the successful businesses will grow.
They're related. I think they're definitely related. I'm just saying that, especially as I work at the Capitol, most of the big business groups are well represented by lobbyists and lawyers, and they should be, and they're effective. But it's important always for us to remember to go out and communicate with the small business owner who is struggling to try to make ends meet, to try to make sure they can and stay in business. I think it's a part of the jobs and economic picture that is critical. It's a big part percentage-wise, and it's a part that tends to be somewhat overlooked because we're very interested in bringing in big operators, and that's understandable. We just need to remember to tap into that voice and that experience.
And, of course, in your district, you have one of the biggest employers of this area with Davis-Monthan.
DM is a critical part of the Tucson and southern Arizona economy, and I'd say our community in general. It's been here a long, long time. That was some of the work that I actually did on the City Planning Commission, was trying to make sure that DM was going to maintain a viable flight corridor to the southeast, making sure that the base wasn't encroached upon. And we did have at least a good announcement yesterday that over 200 good military jobs at DM were not going to be moving to Florida. So that's related. There's a lot of companies, a lot of businesses in Tucson that do business with DM, and I think it's important to maintain a good relationship and make sure we don't encroach upon the base, paying attention to the needs, especially the land use and the air needs.
We'll get back to DM in a moment. We have a caller. Rita's on the line and wants to talk about education and business. Rita, are you there?
I am.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
You have a question for Representative Patterson?
Yeah. The representative made the statement that education is at the top of the list of companies that want to move to Arizona and also to Tucson. And my question is, first of all, we hear this a lot, and so are the businesses looking for quality education for their own families that they're going to be moving to this area? And if so, what are they looking for? Or are they stating that we don't have enough higher education here? Because it seems to me that we have a lot of higher education in this area. Thank you very much.
Very good questions, Rita. Thanks for calling in. I think it's two main things. One, it would be for, yes, their own kids, where would they go to school? So let's say you relocate from somewhere like Atlanta into Tucson, and you got to consider where your kid's going to go to school. So people are going to look at that, but they're also looking at the available skills of people coming into the workforce. Are they going to be able to hire locally people with enough skills to be able to do the job to maintain their economic competitiveness at their business? Those are the two main factors, and I think that education is an investment, and that's one area that at the state level, I think, especially in recent years, I think unfortunately there's been some failures at the state level to support education, and I would hope we could turn that around.
And while the university certainly and our community college system is a large part of our economy and a large part of what we hear about every day, when you take a look at other communities our size in other parts of the country, having just one university or one major university in a community this big is probably not indicative of a very well-trained and a very strongly mobile labor force. I come from the Northeast, and most of the cities in the Northeast will have six or seven major colleges and universities that they can draw from. Certainly on the West Coast, in the cities that are doing very, very well in terms of turning themselves around, in Texas, San Antonio, and Austin, in Oregon and in Portland, you have many universities available, some private, some public, so that it's not just the one university, the state university we have here. Now, what I've seen is some smaller colleges kind of popping up around town, and you know, maybe that's the precursor to some growth in education, but it's not my observation, please comment about this, Representative, if you would, that other than Pima Community College and the U of A, we have a lot of opportunities for kids getting out of high school to go and stay local, stay with their families, stay close to home, other than the U of A.
Well, U of A and Pima shoulder a lot of the load here in Arizona. I think that's for several reasons. One is we're just simply a much younger state. I mean, we're about to have our centennial. The state's about to turn 100 next year, where a lot of the older states, for example, in the Northeast, have been there much longer. They've had a lot longer time to actually establish universities. I think University of Arizona and especially Pima Community College do a very good job taking in sometimes unprepared students that really need a lot to get up to speed. And that's another area that I believe the state has a responsibility to take a look at investing in our university system. And there have been very difficult budget conditions at Pima and the U of A over the last several years. And we're going to have to take a look at a state. How do we turn that around to have a strong university system? And if someone else wanted to move in here with the university, there have been some growth in the private university side. I think we could welcome that, because again, we're a community of a million people.
Right. We talk about high tech corridors. We talk about some of the things we want to be when we grow up. But you've got part of the fuel is manpower. It's intellectual power. It's the resource necessary to make those companies grow. I always end my interviews with one question, let me ask you the same question that I've asked just about everybody else, which is, what keeps you awake at night when you think about the economy and you think about jobs?
Oh, it's how are things going to be for my 9-year-old daughter? I mean, we've been in a nation where forever and ever the American dream has been the next generation is going to have a better quality of life. We're constantly trying to make things better. And I'm concerned right now that maybe that's going the other way and mm-hmm. maybe future generations are going to have it a little bit harder. I worry about this a lot. I mean, again, in my lifetime, this is the roughest economic conditions I can recall, locally, statewide, nationwide. This is a big hole, and we're all in it together. We're going to have to turn it around, and I think a lot about what's the future going to be for my daughter and for people across the country.
Very reasonable answer. Thank you for your time. Thanks for coming down today. Good luck in your endeavor. State Representative Daniel Patterson, live on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be back right after this break.
Thank you.
With FRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Emergency management officials say they hope to get through soon to the one remaining Vermont town they haven't been able to reach. Crews have managed to cut paths into 10 other communities cut off by flooding from the remnants of Hurricane Irene. 3 people have been treated at a hospital after a suspicious package arrived at an Air Force base in southern Illinois. The commander at Scott Air Force Base says 2 workers for the U.S. Postal Service and an Air Force serviceman developed respiratory or skin reactions from something in the mailroom. About 100 people were evacuated as a precaution. President Obama will unveil his jobs plan during an address to a joint session of Congress next Wednesday evening. It is the same day as a previously scheduled debate by GOP presidential candidates. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up about 10. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
And we're back live in the studio. This is the Buckmaster Show. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. And this is an interview-driven show, but we are always welcoming of your input and your questions. The number here in the studio is 790-2040. And the guest for the second half of the show, an in-depth interview with Tyler Vogt. Tyler Vogt is candidate for city council here in Tucson, and he's got his sights set on the seat that has been held by Shirley Scott for now 16 years. And Shirley was on Monday and gave us, I think, some very good insights and into her feelings about how Tucson can improve and its business climate, what's being done, what's been done. I take it, Tyler, that you don't think it's enough.
No, I don't. I think that there is definitely more to do. And I think that some of the points that were highlighted are probably maybe seen through rose-colored glasses. There, some of the advancements that were perceived as, hey, this our environment is much, much more business-friendly, just doesn't be... It doesn't play out in the survey that was done recently by the Metropolitan Pima Alliance that, you know, the city is still quite business unfriendly.
Okay. Give us some specifics. Full disclosure here, I'm the current chairman of the Southern Arizona Chamber of Commerce Alliance. Okay. And when I ask the presidents of the Chambers of Commerce specifically, what are the problems, what needs to be changed and fixed, I don't get a lot of very specific answers.
Right.
So maybe you can help us out with that.
I think specifically from the city council's perspective, the things that absolutely need to change are the different requirements that prohibit businesses from starting up and maintaining a steady, profitable environment for them.
For example?
I believe right now, in order to spur on business growth, I believe that the impact fees that are assessed against startups, they need to be essentially done away with right now, because I believe that we're stepping over dollars to pick up dimes as far as impact fees go.
Okay, that's number one. So that's not an impediment as much as there's no red tape there. You just know you got to pay it. Now I understand mm-hmm. that you can now pay those impact fees spread out over some time.
Right.
But you'd eliminate the impact fees altogether.
Yeah, I believe that. The cost of those requirements for generating the small amount of revenue that they do for the city is really a short-sighted look relative to the sales taxes that the businesses generate.
The cost being because it discourages new business from getting started?
Yeah. There's a lot of capital investment required right now to get a business's doors open in order to generate that sales tax
And it's zero-sum game, though. If we lose the impact fees, how do we make it up?
I believe that the way that you're going to make those up is by prioritizing other areas of spending. So we have a certain pot of money that is on the revenue side of the equation. Well, in order to make
the sources for Tucson revenue are, you count them on less than one hand.
Right. So the current city council has basically maxed out their increases on every single one of those sources.
Right.
They have not addressed efficiently prioritizing and reducing spending in order to make things work. And these are going to be some hard times to really roll up our sleeves and really cut a lot of the non-essential areas that the budget is – money is just being spent out of
the budget. So I don't want to get off onto the politics of who you cut and where you cut.
Sure.
But to sum up your first point,
yes,
one of the things that you think is an impediment that needs to be fixed is the cost of startup.
Yes.
Okay. Where we get that money, another problem.
Right.
Let's get to number two on your list, but we do have a caller.
Okay.
And the caller's name is Drew. Drew, Mike. Mike's up next. I'm reading the screen wrong. Mike, you have a question. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, not as much a question, but it was the startup cost for business. I own a business right now, and I know that there are problems with starting up, and we're trying to get somebody to come into this building to start a new business, and it's in the back of a restaurant. And, you know, the health department come in and said, well, if this business wants to come in here, they need to put two more hand sinks in there, and they're going to charge them $5,000. As an impact fee to start up on the licensing portion of it. And it has three sinks back there to wash their hands in the back kitchen and one in the front. And the second one that they would want in the front is 1 foot away from the other one.
So Mike, what I hear you saying, I think, is that not only is it the impact fees, but there's just some of the rules and regulations are either silly or onerous.
Well, they are, in the fact that they're trying to go what California standards are. California did this in order to generate more money. If somebody's not going to wash their hands after they do food prep because they're going to have to walk six steps to do it, they're not going to do it if they have to walk three steps to do it.
Okay, well, that's a great question. Let's lay that one right down on the desk in front of Tyler and see what he has to say.
Well, first of all, I certainly would not use California as my bar to hurdle over. I am a systems engineer, and I am keenly aware of the unintended consequences and costs of requirements applied to a product. And I think that when you get into situations like this, where the requirements that you have to overcome and verify that you meet just drive so much cost and they drive schedule. And we all know that time is money. So if you're trying to, you know, trying to be the good soldier and comply with all of these onerous requirements, you're wasting time, and that time results in, you know, lack of profit coming in.
That's a good example. Now we do have Drew on the phone. I think he's got another example of the same problem. Drew, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Well, thanks a lot. I think your guess is just disingenuous into make the claim that Tucson is a business-friendly area. I'm aware of a business within the city limits that, of course, pays taxes. When he goes to put up a sign to advertise his business, which would improve his business, which would improve the taxes that you would receive, he gets taxed or he has fees for putting up a sign that would improve his business.
So Drew, what you're suggesting is that, again, the rules are make it very difficult and very expensive, not only to bring a new business in, but even to maintain the business you have.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't make sense. You're just contradicting yourself, saying we're business friendly when you.
Well, I don't think I heard Tyler say that we were business friendly. I think what I heard him say is maybe there's been some small progress, but we need to do a lot more and a lot faster. Thanks for the question, Drew. Tyler.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I came across as, you know, the city is business friendly. I believe that there have been some very, very minor improvements, but we got a long way to go. There are a lot of issues that need to be dealt with. Sign code, land use code, something a lot more robust than just the reformatting of the current code. Those kind of things really need to be looked at from what is absolutely necessary to actually run a business, to open a business and to run a business. Those are the requirements that need to be met. All the extraneous stuff that drives cost and drives schedule just absolutely need to be removed.
Well, you know, let me push back on you a little bit there. Clearly, the original intent of many of these regulations and rules was safety and health and the things that you need to do to ensure that the environment is maintained, et cetera. Now, you can make the argument that some of the stuff got carried away with, and you know, I'm not sure that California is where we got that, you know, five sink rule.
Right.
California is known for lots of regulations, but they're also known for a lot of growth. So a business that has at its, you know, its market is big enough and there's enough of a critical mass can overcome almost anything. So the question then becomes, how do you get there? We don't have the critical mass today, so maybe you do need to relax these rules. How do you do that in this environment? And then, well, let's take that question, and then I want to get into a little bit of, you know, on the business side. There's people saying we've got to do less and less in order to get more and more. But then there's these neighborhood associations and other associations that say, whoa, stop! We moved here to Tucson for a different reason entirely. So, first of all, as you know, Tyler, the land use code is being revised.
Right.
I take it you don't think that the revisions are cutting as deeply as they should.
I don't believe they are. Now, we have not been privy to all of the changes that are coming out of this four-year process. That seems to be an extremely long amount of time, and I will be very interested to see what comes out of it, because we certainly, in over 4 years, have spent a lot of money on it. It better be really, really good for the amount of money that we've spent on it, and I just don't think that that's the case.
We're going to take a break. Okay. When we come back, let's deal with, you know, there are lots of constituencies, and when you become an elected official, you have to represent them all.
Right.
So let's take a break, and we'll be back with Tyler Vogt in about 3 minutes.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
And we're back on the Buckmaster Show, live in the studio with Tyler Vogt, candidate for city council here in Tucson. And we're talking about the business climate in Tucson. We're talking about, is it bad? If it is bad, what can be done to fix it? And we're getting a lot of audience participation in this segment. That's probably a good thing. The number is 790-2040, and we have a caller on the line before we pick up the questioning where we left off. Roger, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Good afternoon.
Hi. You have
a
question for
business, and what I see, like within my industry's special interest, being involved with city government. Like the city passed a law requiring licensing of alarm companies, and every one of our employees needs a license to do business in the city of Tucson. Well, that directly violates state statute, but the city won't cite us if we don't get it, but they continue to use it to hire companies that do pay for the illegal licensing to do city jobs, and they use it to discredit people that don't have it.
So Roger, if I can generalize your question, what you're suggesting is that if a city like Tucson has rules that are more stringent than, say, the state or the federal rules, we're putting ourselves at a big disadvantage. Tyler, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
Thanks for the question, Roger.
I think that is an example of where the city is essentially, you know, holding the business community hostage, essentially, to say, you're not going to be allowed to do business in my community unless you pay the piper. And that is just so counterintuitive to being business ready and you know, developing a solid, growing business environment. Those are the kind of fees that are very short-sighted in implementation, but have some disastrous long-term effects, because you're basically killing out the little guys that can't either afford the fees or, you know, don't need to be here to do their business. They just move elsewhere.
So, Tyler, you're suggesting that the motivation for something like that is not public safety or properly trained people, it's strictly getting fees from whatever the industry is.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Okay, I'm sure there's some people would argue, but I'm not a subject matter expert on that one. So okay, that's a good answer to the question. We need to look at certainly all of those.
Right.
I've heard so much argument, though, where our rules and regulations are more stringent than the rules and regulations of the areas around the country that we may be competing with, that it puts us at a competitive disadvantage.
Right.
And do you have any specific examples of something like that? I can't think of any, but I've heard it a lot.
You know, I don't think I can think of any specific examples either. But it in the case where there needs to be a real solid reason why you need to add additional tolerances or requirements onto, you know, either national codes or state codes that really serve to perform a safety function, if that's necessary in changing a requirement.
Okay.
Those kind of things really may seem like a good idea up front, but it really comes back to it's a cost driver.
Okay, so one of the things that we've noticed in this community, and and every one of the council people I've ever spoken with has stressed to me, is that, you know, the business community is one constituency and a very important constituency, but there are other constituencies in this community, and those constituencies very often are very active in politics and very active in trying to influence rules and regulations and legislation. And of course, the one that pops to mind when it comes to the city council are the neighborhood associations and the rules that they want that make it difficult to do business. But they are nevertheless one of your constituencies. How do you balance those needs? How do you get elected or reelected in a situation where you might be preaching some doctrine that's going to fly in the face of a great large amount of your electorate?
I think that pretty much in any rational argument that, you know, or a debate that occurs between two people, two groups, if you come at the argument based solely in truth and deal with the facts that are on the table, you can negotiate compromises in order to develop the win-win situations.
Yeah, but truth is in the eyes of the beholder sometimes. You know, my truth and your truth may be very different on the same subject.
But that's where the debate comes in handy, is really to flesh out what is the truth. You know, I've got this set of facts that support my side. The other side might have a set of facts that support that side. And that's where you absolutely need to have the healthy debate and be very forthright in discussing, here's the pros, here's the cons, and we need to really look at the unintended consequences to, you know, either invoke new requirements or change existing requirements, because those can have dramatic impacts.
Well, what about taking a look at examples of other cities that have done it right, or at least have been successful at it? You know, sometimes you can be more lucky than good, and sometimes that's a good thing to be.
Absolutely.
But why are we reinventing the wheel when perhaps it's already there and we just need to copy it?
I believe that we have been trying to reinvent the wheel, and we have not been following good models. Good engineering is based in good models, and where we see successes, you know, flourish, that's what we want to grab a hold onto. And I think that, you know, you have the San Antonio case. I think Salt Lake City is a great case, and that's where I was raised. I personally see Tucson right now where Salt Lake City was 25 years ago. We have a huge growth capability on the horizon. We just need to plug into the right model and make it work.
And you know, that's been one of my frustrations. I've been here over 20 years, and I get frustrated because we're always on the horizon. You know, the future is always the future. And if it's 5 years away, that 5 years becomes a five-year moving target. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard. You know, sometimes you just get so resigned to this is the town that it wants to be and stop fighting.
Right.
And so, you know, seeing young folks like you come in and maybe, you know, with a fire in their belly, still want to have that fight isn't a bad thing. Though I do worry a little bit about some of the extremes on both sides ever getting in charge.
Well, here's my answer to that, right? Is why do we sort of see this floating 5-year horizon and you know, a 10-year horizon? If you look at how the city plans for its future, the current general plan that is undergoing revision as dictated by state law, you got to have a 10-year general plan. If you go read the last general plan, there's a lot of motherhood and apple pie in there.
Oh, it's impossible. There's nothing there.
Right. There are no milestones, and that's what we really need to implement. Here's my next 10 years of plan, and here's the milestones to go achieve.
We've got to wrap it up. Unfortunately, okay. The clock, you know, is a clock. One quick question.
Yes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Right now, I think the current mismanagement of the city. There are just story after story after story.
Okay, got it. Tyler, thank you for coming. Thank you for being a good guest and giving a really good interview.
Thank you.
This is Shelley Fishman. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. And tomorrow we're going to have a roundtable with all 8 presidents of the Chambers of Commerce. We're going to sum up what we've done over this week. Thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with
1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.